Bibles again now, please, and go back to Matthew 27. And then keep your finger there in that area. We're going to look at several different of the Gospels and other scriptures, and we'll come back to there. It's on page 1041, Matthew 27. We've already read the scriptures. I want to talk to you this morning on the last sayings of Jesus. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessings we've had in this service, and now I pray we come to this most important part, the preaching of your word. I pray that you'll bind Satan from our minds and from our midst. I pray you'll have the people not think about activities they may have planned the rest of this day and concentrate on your word. I pray you'll save those who may be lost, reclaim those who are backslidden, and do a work in everybody's heart these next few minutes, including mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the greatest person who's ever lived. Jesus Christ is the most important person that has ever lived. Jesus Christ is the most famous person who has ever lived. But however, there's not everybody that believes that. Jesus. There's just something about that name. But to most people, the multitudes of people, that name is just a curse or swear word to many, many people. You can mention the name of Allah, nobody will be offended. You can mention the name of Muhammad or Buddha or any other founder of some religion, and it doesn't bother them at all. But you mention Jesus and see how people get embarrassed. If you don't think so, the next time you're in a crowd of people, not necessarily church people, and you say, "What do you think of Jesus?" And you'll see the embarrassment right away. And you might even be embarrassed because you brought the name up. Well, I want you, dear folks, to know this morning, I am not ashamed of Jesus. And I want you to know he's my Lord and my Savior. And I'm certainly not ashamed of him. What do you think of Jesus? Well, Paul said, "I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." That's been my ministry for 40-some years now, just to present Jesus Christ and him crucified. We are fastly approaching the Easter season, and this morning I want us to look back at some sayings of Jesus as he hung upon the cross. His first words were for forgiveness. Turn with me now to Luke chapter 23, please. Luke chapter 23, page 1110 in your Scofield Bible. Luke chapter 23, page 1110. And look at verse number 34 with me, please. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." These words demonstrates the Lord's position as the one and only mediator between God and man. Keeping your finger there in the Gospels, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2, page 1275 in your Scofield Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 5. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. "For there is one God." It's made up of three different entities: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not three gods, one God. "And one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." What a shock it must have been for those who crucified the Lord to hear him say, "Father, forgive them." They probably didn't think they were doing anything to be forgiven of. They thought they were doing a great favor. What a wonderful and great word is the word forgiveness. As believers in Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven for so much Therefore, we should be a people of forgiving. Turn over with me to Ephesians chapter 4 for a moment, page 1254. Ephesians chapter 4, page 1254. And look at verse number 12. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. Boy, we need some kindness in our world today, don't we? Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now let's move on to the Lord's second saying on the cross, to Luke chapter 23. Luke 23, page 1110. Luke 23, I'm going to begin reading, and verse number 39. Luke chapter 10, begin reading in verse 39 and following. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. There were three crosses on Calvary's Hill that dreadful day. Jesus died on the center cross with a thief on either side of him. Two died that day were completely guilty. One was completely innocent. Two died paying their debts to society. One died paying his debt for our sin. The Lord's second statement of Christ from the cross was to a dying thief who trusted in him as his Lord and Savior. Think about it, dear folks. He believed in Christ while being surrounded by a host of doubters. He saw Jesus in his most difficult hour, but yet he accepted him as his Lord and Savior. He looked at a cross and saw a kingdom, and his faith was rewarded. Jesus said, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The thief's salvation proves a person can be saved on his deathbed, in spite of living a wicked, sinful life. It also proves that he can be saved without being baptized. Let's move on now to the Lord's third saying. This time, go to John's Gospel, please. John chapter 19, page 1142. John's Gospel, the 19th chapter, page 1142. I'm going to begin reading in verse 23 and following. Luke 19, verse 23. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier apart, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. Then said they therefore among themselves, Let us not rend it or tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her into his own home. The first word of Christ from the cross was an expression of forgiveness. The second was an expression of assurance, and the third was an expression of affection. The first word shows his pity for men, the second his power toward those who believe on him, and the third his provision for those on whom his life is set. Jesus loved his mother, and he wanted to make sure that she would be taken care of after his death. I'm sure some of us in this auditorium this morning took care of our mother or our dad who were not able to take care of themselves any longer. And we're so glad we did. It was an honor and it was a privilege to do so. The fourth words from our Lord I found in Matthew 27. If you'll turn to Matthew 27 with me now, please. Page 1042. Matthew 27, page 1042. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 45 and following. Matthew 27, verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be. Let's see whether Elias will come to save him." Look again at verse number 46. Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Folks, do you know what we see here? We see God forsaking God. Now, who in the world could understand that? God the Father forsaking God the Son. God blotted out the sun, and darkness covered the entire earth. Here, Jesus is identified with the sinner's darkness. Darkness speaks of sin in the Bible. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13, keeping your finger in one of the Gospels. Page 1207, Romans chapter 13, page 1207 in your Scofield Bible. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 12 of Romans chapter 13. "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Then Jesus identified with the sinner's separation from God. He took the sinner's place, and he was forsaken that you and I might never be forsaken. Then the fifth saying of Jesus on the cross is found in John 19, John's Gospel, the 19th chapter, page 1142, verse 28 and following. John chapter 19, page 1142, verse number 28. "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." These words reveal the humanity of Jesus Christ. He was the Son of God, but he was also the Son of Man. He was 100% God, but he was also 100% man. In his humanity, he felt what you and I feel. As the Son of God, Jesus never becomes weary, but as the Son of Man, he experiences fatigue, hunger, and thirst. On the cross, he became thirsty. The book of Hebrews kind of tells it well. Go there with me to Hebrews chapter 4, please. Keeping your finger in one of the Gospels. Hebrews chapter 4, page 1294, towards the end of the New Testament. Hebrews 4, page 1294. I'm going to begin reading in verse 14 and following. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are," now here's the difference, "yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may be able to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Another important reason for the Savior's cry, "I thirst," was so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Go back in the Old Testament with me to the book of Psalms. Psalm 69, please. You'll find that on page number 69th Psalm. Psalm 69, verse number 21. Psalm 69, verse 21. "They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." The one who thirsted on the cross provides living water to satisfy thirsty souls. At least 333 Old Testament prophecies converge in the person of Jesus Christ. The Word of God is so important to Jesus that he uttered every word necessary to be fulfilled. Let unbelievers deny it. Let sinners defy it. But dear folks, this Bible, this book will stand forever and forever and forever. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never, ever pass away." Then the sixth word from our Lord on the cross is found in John's Gospel, John chapter 19, page 1142. John's Gospel, the 19th chapter, page 1142, verse number 30. John chapter 19, page 1142, verse number 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Many people leave this world with their tasks unfinished. The pen drops from the writer's hand before the manuscript is completed. The painter's brush falls before his painting is done. The composer's symphony lacks its final notes because he's answered the call of death. The work of the sculptor stands forever veiled, but Christ is the great finisher. On the cross, he finished the work of redemption. At the beginning of the Bible, creation is finished. Go back to the beginning of your Bibles, to Genesis chapter 2, way back to the front of the Bible, first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter number 2. And look at me at verse number 1. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And now go from the first book in the Bible to the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation. At the end of the Bible, perfection is finished. Revelation chapter 21, page 1351. And verse number 6, Revelation 21, verse 6. And he said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." Between these two great divine accomplishments stands the complete work of redemption that Christ announced in his sixth word from the cross. The mighty finisher had completed all the requirements of the law. He had completed all the types set forth in the Old Testament sacrifices. He had completed all of the suffering required to pay our sins. The debt was paid in full. It is finished. What a message of triumph. It was not a sign of defeat. It was a cry of victory. Now we can sing with all of our hearts, "Victory in Jesus." The seventh and final words of our wonderful Lord on the cross are found in Luke chapter 23, page 1111. Luke's Gospel, the 23rd chapter, page 1111, beginning in verse 44, 44 and following. Luke 23, verse 44. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth unto the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance, the women that followed him from Galilee, stood afar off, beholding these things. These words demonstrate that Jesus was in complete control throughout his entire crucifixion. He had been the target of assassins throughout his life. Herod had tried to kill him when he was a child. Satan had tried to lure him into a suicide. A group from the synagogue in Nazareth tried to cast him headlong from the brow of a hill. At the Feast of the Dedication in Jerusalem, a crowd took up stones to stone him to death. But none of these attempts were successful because the hour had not yet come for which he was born. Jesus had come as the good shepherd to give his life for his sheep. Attempts at taking his life by his enemies were futile because he had come to lay it down. Turn with me to John chapter 10, page 1129, please. John chapter 10, page 1129. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 15. John chapter 10, verse 15. "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I will bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold, and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. How encouraging are the word, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. How encouraging are those words. How encouraging they must have been to that dying thief who had just put his faith in Christ as his Lord and Savior. He knew that he had trusted in the one who was, who is, and always will be victorious. I know this to be true in my own life, because many, many years ago, I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as my very own personal Lord and Savior. I wonder this morning if you have. If not, what a better time than today. Let's bow in prayer together, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the glorious resurrection. We thank you for all the scriptures that point toward that crucifixion, that death, burial, and resurrection. Thank you for allowing us to have those words. Thank you for allowing us to have the scriptures. Thank you for the Bible. And Father, I pray if there's one here in this auditorium this morning that they're not sure they're going to heaven, that they'll get it settled once and for all, get it taken care of. I pray you'd bless the invitation. Help folks make decisions this morning that 100 years from now, they'll be glad they made. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.